Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
It's been completely catastrophic, to be honest. You know, we are talking about a tsunami of grief and mental health issues.
What are your fears for what might happen when that tsunami strikes land, if you like? And we may be past the vaccine, we may be beyond, you know, lockdown, we may be back into, quote, normal life. But if you've not dealt with grief, that will at some point catch up on people, won't it?
There are no rules to grief. There is no judgment with grief. You know, there are no rights or wrongs. And that is so, so important because people think that they are doing the wrong thing. They are grieving the wrong way. There is no wrong way.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
And welcome to this week's show. Thanks for joining us today on Mental Health Monday. My name's Mick Coyle and another fascinating edition of the programme. Thanks to everybody who's been supporting the show in the last few weeks and months as well. Just with everything that's been going on, it's been so difficult for so many people for so many different reasons. And I'm doing my best to sort of keep on top of some of those reasons and have these conversations. And hopefully they're of use for you. And if one week's less useful, hopefully the following week will be more useful. And if not, and you're able to share them with other people who might find them useful, then I really appreciate that too. Really enjoy being part of the Mental Health Monday community as well. There's a Facebook group you can join. I just type in Mental Health Monday on Facebook and the group pops up. You just basically apply to enter and I just click accept. It doesn't matter who you are, you just get in. It's an open pass and there's no cost. Don't worry about that. Put some previews on there as well. A little bit of info about stuff that's coming up on the programme. Plus, you can be part of the family who basically support each other, plug different events, tell us about things that they've got going on, all kinds of different things going on in the Mental Health Monday Facebook group. If you're okay to share with people that you're listening to the podcast as well, that's really helpful too. The conversation this week is based around grief. Grief is an issue which, given the number of people who do die regularly across all our lives, you would think we would have a better handle on it. But quite clearly, it's an issue which still has stigma, which still has taboo. And of course, we've seen with the devastating death toll from COVID-19, 113,000 as I record this, and that will go up. Many different families will have questions, concerns, grief that, you know, they maybe don't get an opportunity to talk about or share because of the social distancing, the funeral rules and so on and so forth. So a really key issue at a key time as well. Linda Magistris is from the Good Grief Trust. Now, they had a special day, their Good Grief Umbrella Day, Thursday of last week. So I caught up with Linda to talk about the work that she does, the work that they do, and how the Good Grief Trust can put you in connections with bereavement services up and down the country. It started off by asking Linda where the idea came from and how the whole thing works.
Of course, yeah. So I lost my partner, Graham, 6 years ago to cancer. He had a rare cancer, a soft tissue sarcoma, and it wasn't detected. So when he died, it was only 5.5 months after diagnosis. And I didn't know where to turn, to be honest. I'd lost my dad 20 years ago, but it didn't seem to have the same incredibly profound impact that Graham had. So I went off to my GP and he signposted me to a big charity, but I couldn't access it actually in the borough where I live. So I had to fib, I had to lie and say I lived somewhere else. I was absolutely desperate. And I went for a few counselling sessions, but it just didn't do anything for me at all. I couldn't find a way forward with this incredibly debilitating state that I was in. So I went back to my GP, but he really didn't have anything else to offer me except medication. And I'm just someone who doesn't even take a headache pill if I can help it. So I knew at that point that there must be something out there, surely, that potentially the health visitors, the health professionals, didn't know about. So I went back to the hospitals where Graham was treated and I Googled and I found the most incredible charity. It's actually called Widowed and Young. It's for people who are lost, who lose a partner under 50. And it was my light bulb moment because it was brilliant for me. It was my lifeline. I found other people who'd gone through the same thing. And I thought, well, okay, this is my support. I then realised, obviously, if you lose a partner, you can go to Widowed and Young or one of the other charities. But what happens if you lose a child or a sibling or a parent or a friend? Where do you go? And we didn't have a resource back then that everyone could tap into, including the health professionals and the bereaved. So 4 years ago, we launched the goodgrieftrust.org. So it's a database where anyone can go and whoever's grieving under any circumstance anywhere in the UK, and they can find a choice of support for them. We actually have over 800 charities and support services now under that umbrella.
And it's a wonderful resource, and we'll point people in the direction of the website and where they can find some more information a little bit later on. In regards to that, we have the word grief, don't we? But it's such a short word. But actually, I guess you know that it can have a million and one different sort of aspects to it. And each one of those aspects desires and requires a great deal of time, potentially, or investigation, or whatever word we're going to use to sort of give it its full respect. Because I guess if we don't, then it can cause people problems further down the line.
It really can. And the key is to offer early support. And that is our whole vision and our whole mission as a charity at the Good Grief Trust, is to offer people a choice of early support from day one, because traditionally we've sort of left it a few weeks, a few months until potentially counselling is offered, but not everyone needs counselling and most people don't. They just need to know from day one that they are supported, that their grief is acknowledged and that they're not going crazy. You know, that everything that they're feeling is completely normal, that they can reach out maybe to friends and family if they've got a great network. If they don't, they can find other people who actually have been through a similar circumstance. We will never know what that person feels. No one knew what I felt, but I found other people who empathized and just sat there with me and listened. I mean, at the Good Grief Trust, we have hundreds of videos. We've got a YouTube channel. We've got articles. We've got a plethora of support services. We've got a huge community. So there is something for anyone, you know, and everyone. And that's exactly what we want to be able to do, is offer choice. It's so important.
And in terms of that, I guess many people, death is such a common thing, isn't it, for so many people. And yet our response to it is often quite reactive. We do our best to try and, well, what do I need to do at this point, or what should I do next? Or maybe once I get through the funeral, we can do something after that. What's the benefit of being proactive in looking for help, in actually seeking to find, you know, more positive things, rather than that sort of like, well, if I just battle on through, I'll get to the point at which I need to get to, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really important. I mean, we've got a new ambassador from last year, Luke Campbell, who is a gold Olympic boxer, and he lost his father 2 weeks before a big fight, and he put it aside and actually didn't really realize the feelings, the physical symptoms that he was experiencing, the pain in his gut, the burning sensations, the anger. He didn't put that down to grief. So if you don't know early on, you can get completely muddled, you can get very confused. You know, friends and family and your wider network can suffer, if you like, you know, because they can't help you because you have no idea what you're feeling. So by knowing what you're feeling is completely normal from day one, you can then go, right, what is it I want? How can I help myself? Is that talking to someone who is just really kind and going to be listening and understanding? Is that going and having a run outside? Is it going walking with friends? Is it going having a cup of tea with someone? Is it having professional counselling? Then you know what is open to you, because you won't know until you know what you're feeling is to what the services are on available to you.
Do people ever say to you, I always wonder if these are the wrong feelings? Am I thinking the wrong thing?
Yeah, absolutely. There is no right or wrong way to grieve. And that's really, really important. You know, we say grief is really love with nowhere to go. You know, it's just so powerful, and it can be so debilitating, and it can take over so many aspects of your life, you know, financial, your children, your workplace, everything can be affected by grief if you don't acknowledge it. So, yeah, it's really, really important to do that and just to sort of think about maybe where you are with it and to recognize it and to try and, I mean, we get lots of quotes put on our Facebook pages. I mean, our community is huge. We reached over 2 million at Christmas, and we're a small voluntary charity. But, you know, clearly people are reaching out, particularly now during COVID. We've got over 100,000 people obviously affected by direct COVID bereavement, but clearly there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who have other types of bereavements throughout the whole year. So people are reaching out for things that resonate with them. So quotes and memes and images and, you know, whatever is right for you is right for you, really.
And in terms of those deaths that we've seen in the last year, where we've had restrictions on things like funerals or no funerals or really limited funerals, has that disrupted, if you like, our processes that we have in place Over our lifetimes, we've kind of built up that we think, well, as long as we get through to the funeral, or I can make sure that we're there for them, or we can maybe send somebody around, a family member stops over at a relative's, whatever that may be. But COVID's taken so many of those coping strategies away, hasn't it?
It's been completely catastrophic, to be honest. You know, we are talking about a tsunami of grief and mental health issues. I mean, we run virtual cafes, so please, anyone who's listening, come to our virtual cafes. They run 3 times a week. There's no waiting list. You just pop in, have a cup of tea, sit on Zoom and meet other people, because people are grieving in isolation. They haven't been able to have their friends and family knock on the door and come and hold their hands. They haven't been able to go and have those hugs and have that comfort at the funerals. Sometimes they've even live streamed their funeral, so they haven't even actually been there with their parents, because potentially they might have been infected by COVID, or they might have had friends and family. That is really, really profound, and it will have a knock-on effect all the way through different religions and cultures as well. We've just come off a seminar that we're running to try and improve early support within the NHS trusts and GPs. And one of our recent ambassadors, Dr. Amir Khan, which I'm sure a lot of people know, he was talking about the Muslim community. And obviously, you know, they need to bury their loved ones very quickly. And if you can't do that, if you can't be there and dress those people who have died, who you are so precious to, that can have a really impactful, profound effect on you. And that's not just now, that's ongoing. I mean, we see people, we had someone in the cafe the other day who 40 years ago had lost her father, had never really dealt with it. And it's just coming back now to really, really have those really horrible sort of profound impact on her. Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the processes in place for when somebody dies, be it the coroner, the funeral and those sorts of services that you've got to go through, is that something we need to do? We need to actually build into the system a moment whereby there's a specific signpost into an organisation like your own or those that you work with that says, beyond the coroner, beyond the funeral, this is a service you might require. And when you do, here is the number to call, or here's the email, or here's the website to go to.
Absolutely. And that's why we've been working so closely with the Department of Health. I mean, we're a very young charity, relatively speaking, you know, it's only 4 years old, but we're absolutely passionate from day one. Those people who are bereaved, like me, like all those people across the country, they need to know where they can find their support. So we have something called the Good Grief Card, which runs in tandem with the website. So it's a tangible resource. It's a combined condolence and signposting tool. And we are absolutely passionate. That's why we've just come off a seminar just now with all the hospital bereavement team, with the GPs, the primary and secondary healthcare. Frontline services need the support. They are trying to keep people alive during COVID. They are doing their job. The next step is our step. So yes, we have something like the Good Grief Card. So basically that it will be given to the bereaved. They know exactly where they can find that support immediately, or a week later after the funeral, 2 months' time, 6 months' time. Yeah, it's absolutely vital that they know where to find those resources.
Actually, Linda, a really important point you made there, because you use the phrase, you know, the tsunami of grief. What happens, or what are your fears for what might happen when that tsunami strikes land, if you like? And we may be past the vaccine, we may be beyond, you know, lockdown, we may be back into, quote, normal life. But if you've not dealt with grief, either through COVID-19 or anything that came before, that will at some point catch up on people, won't it?
It certainly will. And that's why we need to improve these bereavement services. We run the All-Party Parliamentary Group on bereavement support as well with Secretariat. We work very closely with Westminster and the MPs and peers and our support charities. And it's absolutely key that we improve and put funding into bereavement services, because it cannot be more important now and ongoing to make sure that those numbers are absolutely supported and that they are helped in every aspect of their life. So yeah, I mean, it is a huge issue, but it's not insurmountable. You know, it's not rocket science, we call it, you know, the Good Grief Trust. You literally get to people from day one. You make sure that they know that they're supported, they're acknowledged, and even that can make them breathe a sigh of relief. You think, oh gosh, it's okay. I'm like me, I'm not going mad. There are other people who feel like me, that's fine. Now we can start talking about what we need. But if you literally think you are going crazy, if you do not get that support from day one, you can really, really have very serious consequences. I mean, people turn to drug abuse, you know, drink, alcohol abuse, PTSD, children are self-harming. You know, there's so many aspects of social and economic, you know, sort of effects from that if you don't deal with your bereavement.
And in terms of those different organisations, and of course they'll all work in their own different way, can you give people a sense of what those conversations might sound like? There are a lot of people who will be afraid of picking up the phone or uncertain as to what that conversation might go like. Can you give us a sense of what a session might be like or how that session might begin?
Yeah, absolutely. So our virtual cafes are run by the bereaved for the bereaved. The host is someone who has had a significant bereavement. For example, we run even LGBTQ cafes run by LGBTQ, the community, reaching out to other people. So, for example, in our cafes, in our sessions, Zoom starts on, and then people just come in, they have a cup of tea, and they start sharing their story if and when they need to. They can sit, they can listen to other people's stories. They can engage if they want to. They can chat about the bereavement that they've had. But generally speaking, as soon as you realise that actually the room, albeit an online room, is full of other people who have been through something similar, it's just that shared bond. It's that club you never wanted to belong to, but you are there and you can just sit and listen or share and talk as much as you want to, because generally most people do want to talk when they've had a bereavement, but a lot of people don't, you know. And again, we've got online forums where you can scroll through messages, comments from other people that will resonate. You think, oh my goodness, yes. So you don't have to pick up that phone if you don't want to. It's really quite daunting, especially sadly, when you pick up a phone and that service is unavailable, because clearly a lot of them are overwhelmed and that could be the only phone call that you make. So I would urge people just to do what feels comfortable for them. You know, talk to other people if you want to, scroll through a Facebook message, come to a WhatsApp group and look on our, you know, for example, the Good Grief Trust articles and videos.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And we'll signpost to all of those as well in the write-up to the podcast as well. Can I ask you as well, in terms of the emotions on show and on display in these meetings, because having been to many funerals, unfortunately, myself, I'm aware that although there are the moments where it's about grief and it's about sadness, particularly in the moments after, there are moments of happiness, there are moments of joy where people have a good time, and I guess that's okay, isn't it? And that's part of the process along the same way. You can have a laugh, you can have a joke, if that feels right and it feels right amongst the group.
Absolutely. There are no rules to grief. There is no judgment with grief. You know, there are no rights or wrongs. And that is so, so important, because people think that they are doing the wrong thing. They are grieving the wrong way. There is no wrong way. It's your way. It's your grief. Your grief is unique to you. And we have no right. We should not assume that somebody needs support 3 weeks down the line. They need support 3 months down the line. They need support when they need it. That could be immediately, or it could be 20 years down the line. Absolutely. People just grieve the way that they really want to grieve. Yeah.
And the people who haven't sort of gone about sort of seeking extra support after a long period of time, what are those sorts of things that they say to you about why they didn't? Or is it something they felt like they'd done and they put into a box and moved on from? Or was it something that they thought, well, it wasn't available then, so I presumed I couldn't get it now? What sort of things do they say to you?
Yeah, that's probably the top of the list, is that they didn't even know that it existed. There wasn't really this awareness of support, and there wasn't an awareness of grief and loss as an issue. You know, we've talked about mental health, we've talked about end of life, but bereavement is the poor relation and has been for many, many years. And thankfully now there's this snowballing effect that people clearly, through COVID, it's probably the only thing that has been positive through COVID, is that bereavement support is at the fore. And the need to reach out to people who are grieving is absolutely key. And I think that's probably most people would think, well, I didn't even know I needed it. I didn't know there was support. I certainly wasn't offered it. People were not offered support. But now they know, actually, that there are really brilliant things that I can do. For example, you know, we're having the virtual cafes, but we've also got pop-up cafes out in the community. We've got two or three running in Cornwall even now. We've got one down here in the South Coast. We've got one in Oxford. These cafes are around in the community, plug in those gaps. But as I say, it's completely up to that individual. A lot of people are just using mindfulness, they're using well-being. We're running Pilates classes, yoga classes, you know, laughter yoga even. As you say, you know, there should be no rules. I mean, when Graham died and we had his wake, if you like, afterwards, people were laughing and joking and sharing amazing stories. When my dad died, I had a quartet, you know, playing jazz music, and we all danced because that's what he wanted, you know. So there is no Shame. There is no guilt with anything you do with grief. We run the National Grief Awareness Week every year at Christmas, and this year it was the second campaign, massively popular. We lit up buildings across the country yellow, and we lit the Dome of St. Paul's to try and make very loudly the message that grief is a really big issue. And last year we had a whole portfolio of messages, and many of those are around that, you know, say their name. We're thinking about them anyway. Just because I'm smiling doesn't mean I'm not grieving. All those messages are so, so key. So please do look not only the goodgrieftrust.org, but also the National Grief Awareness Week site, because we have lots of information and we're trying to bust that taboo. I mean, it's time now. I think Greg Wise, who obviously a lot of people know as the actor and producer and writer and married to Emma Thompson, he says, you know, we're all in childish denial that it's not going to happen to us. I mean, it will. So let's just deal with it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. The word taboo, stigma, comes up so many times when we talk about mental health, but it's there and it's clear, isn't it? And actually, sometimes when you go to a funeral and even the smallest hint of someone said they always wanted a brass band. So you go and you get the biggest brass band you can find. Or they always said, oh, make sure you wear it red. So everybody wears red. And it's not to say we should all start planning for worst case scenarios, but it just goes to show when you do have those sorts of conversations, it does stick with people. And actually it maybe makes their decision-making process maybe a little bit easier down the line, because you've had that conversation about what the funeral might be like or what music might play, and it's one less thing, I guess, to worry about when you've got all those other things, both practical and emotional, swirling around in your head.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to do for your relatives, your friends and family who are left behind, because it will be something that they can think, well, I'm doing the best I can possibly have done, because that's exactly what they wanted. Obviously, that works perfectly in normal times. Sadly, in COVID times, it's not as brilliant, because sadly, people have left wills. They've left their last, you know, will and testament and what they want. And it hasn't been able to be brought to the fore and to come to fruition. And that can also leave you with a lot of guilt and a lot of burden. But what we're saying is, let's just do exactly what we have to do now. And then later on, let's celebrate those lives. Let's have lovely memorial services. I mean, even now, you can have a condolence book online and you can leave little messages and thoughts and photographs. You know, there's lots of opportunities and initiatives to do that even now, even with those COVID restrictions.
And I just wanted to end by mentioning this, Linda, because there'll be many people who've been to those sort of either funeral services, very limited, or not been able to attend, as you hinted at before. And yet there's still that sense that there's going to be an occasion at some point, hopefully in the relatively near future, that will be a celebration. And actually, I think for a lot of people, that will be a brand new experience, that it's not a funeral. The wake has taken place and whatever has happened has happened. But actually, there will be a new thing that will happen later this year, start of next year, potentially, where people will just come together and have these sort of celebrations of life. And I think there'll be a brand new experience for so many people. And again, I guess we'll come with those range of emotions.
I think they will. And again, that's a positive that's come out of COVID. That's a positive that we can all look forward to. And that's something that maybe will help the community to know that they can come together. They can have those hugs. They can, you know, sit in a church or a community hall, or wherever you have it, in the garden, and celebrate the lives of those people that we've lost. And we can name them. You know, we can talk about them. We can remember them and share those lovely memories and happy thoughts. And that's really, really important. And that will help us move forward, because, as I say, at the moment, sadly, people are thinking, gosh, I haven't done the best. But we can't. We can't do the best for that person. We can only do what we can at the moment. So let's think going forward. I mean, our strapline is help and hope in one place. So we offer practical and emotional help, and we offer hope for the future. And we all have to have hope. And there is hope, definitely, going forward. It's not the circumstances of the death that will predict a positive or negative outcome. It's the support they get at the time of the death. That is the key component to anybody finding a way to rebuild their life. And that's actually a quote from Julia Samuel, who's a well-known grief guru, if you like. And that's so, so important. So please keep that in your mind. We can move forward with hope.
Linda, thank you so much for your time today. The Good Grief Trust, if people type that into any search engine, it's the first thing that comes up. You've had your umbrella day as well, which a great idea. Actually, just mention it, because I think it's an important idea. And again, we talk about the emotional versus the practical. This is that practical thing, but actually it's a nod to the emotional as well, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's the first time. So National Umbrella Day, February the 10th, every year now, from now on. So what we want to do is to make sure that that support is known. We are an umbrella charity and we are going to celebrate all those hundreds of charities. We actually have 800 charities and support services that grow every day under our umbrella. We need to make sure that anyone grieving under any circumstance anywhere in the UK looks at our umbrella and sees that there is help and that there is hope, and we support those people grieving going forward. So yes, get your umbrellas out, wear your national umbrella badges, our Good Grief umbrella badges, but please do come together and just let those people grieving know that they're not alone.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.